Bhaktivedantaki, Gantaraj, Shrimad Bhagavatam, Giriraj Maharaj, Jayanitai Goprem Anande. Okay, so tonight we'll finish chapter 63. Chapter 63 is called. What is it? Vanasi. So we'll go from verses 34 to. Text number 34. Sri Rudra said, "You alone are the absolute truth, the supreme light, the mystery hidden within the verbal manifestation of the absolute. Those whose hearts are spotless can see you. You are uncontaminated, like the sky." Take another round, Prabhu.
The absolute truth is the source of all light and is therefore the supreme light, self-luminous. This absolute truth is explained confidentially in the Vedas and is therefore difficult for an ordinary reader to understand. The following statements quoted by Srila Jiva Goswami from the Gopal Kapani Upanishad shows how the Vedic sounds occasionally reveal the absolute truth. E hocho upasanam yutasya paramatmano govinda shya sakila narayano purvakam sarani. E, the poor Kumaras said to Brahma, "Please tell us how to worship Govinda, the supreme source and foundation of all the races. Chetanas chetanana, purvakam 21, he is chief of all living beings. And tam ha devam atma vritti prakasham, purvakam 23. One realizes that supreme Godhead by first realizing one's own self." The great Acharya Jiva Goswami also quotes a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam 7:10:48, "Gudam Param Brahma Manushyaninam," which records the supreme truth conceived in the human-like form. Since the Lord is pure, why do some people perceive Krishna's form and activities as impure? Acharya Jiva Goswami explains that those whose own hearts are impure cannot understand the pure Lord. Srimad Vishwanath Chakravarti further quotes the Lord's own instruction to Arjuna, Sri Hari also, "Tat Param Paramam Brahma Sarvam Vibhajate Jagat Mamaiva Tat Ghanam Tejo Nyatum Arhasi Bhara." Superior to that total material nature is the supreme Brahman from which the entire creation expands. O descendant of Bharata, you should know that the supreme Brahman consists of my concentrated effulgence. Thus, to save his devotee, Shiva now glorifies the supreme Lord Krishna, his eternal worshipful master. The Lord's bewildering potency induced Shiva to fight with Lord Krishna. But now the fight is over, and to save his devotee, Lord Shiva offers these beautiful prayers.
So, are there any points there?
And you, Sami explains, those who have put in pure heart, they see same thing.
Good.
So Lord Shiva tries to protect his. Because his devotee is very special.
Why is he special? That is correct. No problem. Any other point?
Lord Shiva is trying to tell everybody actually that Krishna is the supreme.
Yeah. That's one of the important points. Anything else?
Supreme Brahman consists of my concentrated effulgence. Supreme Brahman consists of my concentrated effulgence.
Good. Any other points?
So whose heart is pure, those who are self-realized, then only they can see that Lord Krishna is spotless and supreme.
Yeah, within the heart. Yeah.
Lord Krishna is asking him that if I were the supreme Brahman, why did he
Yeah, so how is Krishna revealed? Krishna is revealed through the Vedic literatures. And of all the Vedic literatures in this, Srimad Bhagavatam is considered the ultimate commentary. It is the natural commentary on the Vedas. If you take all of the Vedas and then you have a commentary on the Vedic literature, then the Srimad Bhagavatam is that commentary. So it is considered to be the topmost authority of all the Vedic literatures. And whenever the acharyas, whenever they quote to substantiate any of their points, they primarily quote from the Bhagavatam. And we'll see, because next year we may even begin the 11th canto next year. You'll see that a lot of the quotations from Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur and other acharyas primarily comes from the 11th canto, because the 11th canto is like a summary of all of the philosophy which is spoken in the Bhagavatam. It's very powerful, the 11th canto. And Krishna speaks it Uddhava Gita. So just before he leaves the earth, then he speaks this final summarization of all the philosophy. It's very, extremely powerful, the 11th canto. There was a part of me for a long time which did not want to finish the 10th canto, but now there's another part of me that's excited about beginning the 11th canto. So. Mm-hmm. Both are good. Both are ecstatic. One is Krishna's pastimes, one is Krishna's instructions. So, you understand the Vedas only when you hear it from a bona fide source. That's why Krishna's system in the Gita is Tadvidhi Pranipatina Padi Prasnena Sevaya Upadeksham Tite Gyanam Gyaninas Tattva Darshina. You have to learn the Vedas from someone who is Tattva Darshin, someone who has seen the truth. That's how you understand Vedic literature. Otherwise, it's very difficult to understand the Vedas. It's very difficult to understand the Srimad Bhagavatam. You have to hear from someone who has seen the truth, who understands it properly. That person can reveal the imports and the purports of the Vedic literature, the Srimad Bhagavatam. So that is the system which is given. So, in this world, we tend to within the Vedic literatures there are two ways of understanding the truth. There is the way of understanding through the personalistic conception and the impersonalistic conception. It's interesting though that there has never been a Mayavad, to my knowledge, there's never been a Mayavad commentary on the Srimad Bhagavatam. The Mayavadis comment, Shankaracharya, they've commented, and his followers, they've commented on other Shastras, but not the Bhagavatam itself. Because the Bhagavatam is extremely personal, extremely focused on establishing the personal concept of God. That God is a person. and as has been understood, that the Brahman is the effulgence of Krishna. And Krishna says this himself in the Bhagavad Gita, Brahmano hi pratishtaham. I am the source of the Brahma Jyoti. It rests upon me, or it emanates from me. The Brahma Jyoti emanates from Krishna himself. And then there's this very nice verse, very powerful verse actually. It's a good one to memorize if you want to defeat Mayavad philosophy, from the Harivamsa. So Krishna is speaking to Arjuna. So he specifically says here, superior to the Supreme Brahman, from which this entire creation expands, or descendant of Bharata, you should know that the Supreme Brahman consists of my concentrated effulgence. So Krishna himself is explaining that the Brahman, the Brahma Jyoti, is just coming from him. It is emanating from him. He is the source of it. Now, there are Vedic evidences to support this. And this is one of them. So this is a good verse to learn if you want to defeat Mayavadis. Quoting Sanskrit. There's different verses you can learn. So here it is being established that Krishna is the source of the Brahma Jyoti, And to understand Krishna, you need to hear from a bona fide source. Then you'll understand. Otherwise, you know, people misconstrue Krishna. No? They think that Brahman is the supreme. No? And that is because they're hearing from the wrong sources. Shankaracharya and his followers. And it's interesting because who is Shankaracharya?
Lord Shiva.
And Lord Shiva's right here. Lord Shiva's right here being defeated by Krishna. And offering verses of praise to Krishna. And then what was the last thing that, the final thing that Shankaracharya said? Yeah. Yeah, worship Govinda, you fools. It was the last thing Lord Shiva said. Shankaracharya. Just worship Govinda. Head of the Mayavadis. You fools. He was just doing that on behalf of Krishna. That was a seva. He had to preach Mayavad forcibly. So, any points?
Actually, he has told his wife, the Shankaracharya, that I am doing this work, but I don't like it.
How is it that Mayavadi people ignore that particular instruction?
Yeah. I mean, because there's many things spoken by Shankaracharya which establishes Mayavad philosophy. So then, at the end, they probably would have said he just had Alzheimer's or something. You know, that he wasn't coherent when he was saying that. They would have explained something like that.
They are saying that when he says Bhajab Govinda, they said he didn't say Bhajab Govinda, he said Bhajab Govinda. So Govinda means something else, so they are construing some other meaning of Govinda. That's why they call
Could you be the Maya covering all the Maya bodies?
Yeah. Any other point? The sky is your navel, fire your face, water your semen, and heaven your head. The cardinal directions are your sense of hearing, herbal plants, the hairs on your body, the water-bearing clouds, the hair on your head. The earth is your foot, the moon your mind, the sun your vision, while I am your ego. The ocean is your abdomen, Indra your arm, Lord Brahma your intelligence, the progenitor of mankind your genitals, the religion, and religion your heart. You are indeed the original Purusha, creator of the worlds. Mitesh, would you like to read it?
Sridhar Swami explains that just as the tiny bugs live inside a fruit, cannot comprehend the fruit, so we tiny living beings cannot understand the Supreme Absolute Truth in which we exist. It is difficult to understand the cosmic manifestation of the Lord. What to speak of his transcendental form as Sri Krishna. Therefore, we should surrender in Krishna consciousness, and the Lord Himself will help us understand.
Nice. Any other points?
Nothing happens without His will.
That is true. Anything else? Any other point?
We are unknown Krishna as we go. So here it says that rather than we trying to comprehend, just surrender to Krishna.
Yeah. Yeah, in other words, we are limited in what we can perceive. So we can't understand everything about God's creation because we're too limited to understand it. From our perspective, how much can we see or understand? They try to understand the universe, but what do they know of the universe? You know, even the Hubble telescope, big telescope, can see right. How do they know it can see? How do they know how accurate it is, all these things? They're limited in what they can, you know. And then 1969, you know, the first man walked on the moon. And Prabhupada was in London. And Prabhupada said, he is not walking on the moon. Prabhupada said that. He is not walking on the moon. Right? And NASA, they say, some scientists, you can see some footage of some scientists speaking in NASA, they say now, we're still working out how to send man into space. So if they haven't worked out how to put men into space, then how can they have sent an astronaut to the moon? So sometimes they contradict themselves without obviously kind of understanding it. So there are so many contradictions there. And we're limited in what we can perceive and understand. So sense perception is limited. We don't rely just on the senses. And then Prabhupada explains in the beginning of the Ishopanishad that we have defects. Humans have four defects. So what are our four defects? Yeah. So which one's first?
Imperfect illusions.
First one is illusion. Yeah. And if you're an illusion, then?
Imperfect.
Your senses are imperfect. Yeah. And then? You make mistakes. And then? You have to cheat to cover everything up. And that's what they do now. Yeah, they make some mistake. Oh, we went to the moon. Now they have to cheat and cover it all up. Or we sent some planes into the Twin Towers. The Twin Towers fell down. And everyone's working out, or it wasn't actually planes that took them down. So now they have to cover it all up and cheat. And like that. So all these things, it is cheating. So that's the nature of the material world. So it's limited what you can understand. So the best way to understand these things, you have to hear from the bona fide source. If you hear from the bona fide source, then you can understand. Any points?
Yeah, Lord Shiva, the Vaishnava, he's telling about Krishna. So we have to agree with
Krishna. We should believe in Bhagavad Gita, where God says, Aham Sarva Sukhum. Matta Sarva
Bhagavad. Acha. Any other point?
And once on the end of the book was mentioning this. He was mentioning the qualities of Krishna, like he's so beautiful, he's so powerful. He said, if ever from our meditation, Krishna comes in front of our eyes, and he said, he's so beautiful that we faint. We can't even see him. And he was mentioning, if Radharani comes in front of our eyes, and we'll die. She is extremely beautiful.
Anything else? Your current descent into the material realm, O Lord of unrestricted power, is meant for upholding the principles of justice and benefiting the entire universe. We demigods, each depending on your grace and authority, develop the seven planetary systems. Raja.
As Lord Shiva glorifies Lord Krishna, doubts may arise since apparently Lord Krishna is standing before Lord Shiva as a historical personality with a human-like body. However, it is out of Lord's causeless mercy that he appears to us in a form visible to our mundane eyes. If we want to understand the absolute truth, Sri Krishna, we must hear from recognized authorities in Krishna consciousness, such as Lord Krishna himself in the Bhagavad Gita, or from Lord Shiva, a recognized Vaishnava authority, who here glorifies the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
So, any points there? So
only Krishna and the Vaishnava knows Krishna.
Yeah, so once again, it's establishing that if you want to understand Krishna, you have to hear from authority. Lord Shiva himself is one of the 12 Mahajans, the 12 great authorities mentioned in the sixth canto. Who lists the 12 great authorities? Yeah, but who speaks the verse? Yamaraj, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so then he says there are 12. Who are the 12? Narada.
Narada.
11 to go. Narada. Shiva. Brahma. Manu. Kapila. Kumaras. Right. Janak. Bhishma. Prahlad. Then Shukadev.
Yama.
Yama. One more. I already said that.
Bali Maharaj.
Yeah, Shukadev. Yeah, Shukadev, I said that.
Bali Maharaj.
Janak, Bhishma, Bali.
Kapila Dev.
I said that, yeah.
Yeah.
And then Shukadev, Yamaraj, and there's one more.
Bhishma.
So these are the great authorities. So Shiva, he is one of the 12 great authorities. So he establishes here on his authority that Krishna is the supreme entity, the supreme lord, because he's been, and that's one of the important points of this chapter, of this pastime. Shiva himself is establishing that Krishna is supreme. Krishna defeats him in battle, but then he also speaks and establishes that Krishna is the supreme entity. So many people, they say that, no, Shiva is supreme. Even there are statements in the Puranas that Shiva is supreme. But here, it clearly says in the Bhagavatam, Shiva is announcing that Krishna is the supreme entity. So by his authority, then we understand. Any points?
Yamaraj spoke this verse much before the Bhishma's appearance. So how did he put Bhishma's name in it?
Because the Bhagavatam is eternal. So.
And so is Bhishma then?
Yeah, because Bhishma will travel with Krishna. Whenever Krishna goes to a new universe, then he's there. And then Bhishma in the 10th chapter of the first canto, then Bhishma is speaking the, his final instructions, which are recorded in the Bhagavatam. So, any other points? Okay. Number 38. You are the original person, one without a second, transcendental and self-manifesting. Uncaused, you are the cause of all, and you are the ultimate controller. You are nonetheless perceived in terms of the transformations of matter effected by your illusory energy, transformations you sanction, so that the various material qualities can fully manifest. Would have a bundle approval? You can just read the first paragraph, you don't have to read it.
Acharya's comment as follows on this verse. Srila Sridhar Swami explained that the term Atya Purusha, the original Purusha, they indicate that the Lord Krishna explained himself as Mahavishnu, the first of the three Purushas who take charge of cosmic manifestation. The Lord is Eka Advititya, one without a second, because there is no one equal to the Lord or different from him. No one is completely equal to the Supreme Godhead, and yet because all the living beings are expansions of the potential of the Godhead, no one is qualitatively different from him. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu nicely explains this inconceivable situation by stating that the Absolute Truth and the living beings are qualitatively one and quantitatively different. The Absolute possesses infinite spiritual consciousness, whereas the living beings possess infinitesimal consciousness, which is subject to being covered by illusion.
Mm. What are the points? What does that mean?
Mahaprabhu saying that Absolute Truth and living beings are qualitatively one and quantitatively
anything else?
Lord Krishna is the full consciousness. That Lord Kapila said it to you, that he is the full consciousness. and we get all the time from him.
Hmm.
And he. Yeah.
Lord Shiva is addressing Krishna as Vasudeva Krishna.
Yeah, because this is Krishna from Dwarka that he's in front of. So the philosophy of Achincha Veda, Veda Tattva, has been spoken of here. And it is explaining that Krishna is the supreme Purusha. Purusha means the master or the controller of everything. And being the supreme controller, everything is emanating from him. So Lord Shiva is establishing Krishna as supreme. Everything does not emanate from Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva never makes this statement. Krishna makes this statement. Where does Krishna say in the Bhagavad Gita? Ham Savasya Prabhupo Mataha Savam Prabhatati. So he says that. Lord Shiva does not make those statements. Everything emanates from me. But Lord Shiva himself is explaining whatever Krishna has said is correct. He's supporting his arguments. Yes, you are the supreme entity. So these verses are establishing Krishna's supreme position. And Lord Shiva is saying Krishna is the ultimate reality. Everything in this world is unreal. It is Maya. The Lord Shiva is the most expert personality when it comes to Maya because he's married to Maya. Maya is his wife. Yeah, he's the controller of Maya. So therefore, he is the greatest authority. He says, no, all of this is illusion. This is reality. And the Bhagavatam, in the very first verses, it says that one of the purposes of the Bhagavatam is to establish the difference between reality and
illusion.
Illusion is the material energy. Reality is Krishna's service. Right? That is the difference. Any points?
I think everybody should read Srimad Bhagavatam, then they will know who is who.
Yeah. Yeah. We have to preach it all over the world so people understand. O Almighty One, just as the sun, though hidden by a cloud, illuminates the cloud and all other visible forms as well, so you, although hidden by the material qualities, remain self-luminous and thus reveal all those qualities along with the living entities who possess them. Okay, so Atish, you like to read the...
Dear Lord Shiva, further clarifies the idea expressed in the final two lines of the previous verse. The analogy of the clouds and the sun is appropriate. With its energy, the sun creates clouds, which cover our vision of the sun. Yet it is the sun that allows us to see the clouds and all other things as well. Similarly, the Lord expands his usual potency and thus prevents us from directly seeing him. Yet it is God alone who reveals to us his covering potency, namely the material world. And thus the Lord is Atmapradeep, self-luminous. It is the reality of his existence that makes all things visible.
Any points?
Atmapradeep, self-luminous, Lord is.
Any other points?
Those who have got good qualities, they cannot be seen and appreciate it.
Anything else?
Paramatma is Shakti Guru, there is, though it's Paramatma is not seen. It's not Chakravita Guru.
Yeah, so this verse is explaining the whole material world is created just for one reason, because the living entities want to enjoy separately from Krishna. So because we want to enjoy separately from Krishna, he manifests the entire cosmic manifestation. That is Krishna's mercy. Because originally we were with Krishna in the spiritual world, but we did not want to stay there and serve him submissively. So therefore, to facilitate our desire, which is perverted, then Krishna gives us the material energy. And he says, you go and you enjoy yourselves, separately from me. Man proposes and he creates everything just for us. But then he says in Bhagavad Gita, it will be Dukalayam. That means?
Temporary. Full of misery.
Misery and temporary. That is the nature of this material world. It is always miserable, and it is always
temporary.
Material world key? Okay. Any points? Their intelligence bewildered by your maya, fully attached to children, wife, home, and so on. Persons immersed in the ocean of material misery sometimes rise to the surface and sometimes sink down. Sri Chaitanya Prabhu, you like to read about this?
Srila Sridhar Swami explains that rising in the ocean of misery indicates elevation to higher species, such as demigods, and that being submerged refers to degradation to lower species, even to immobile forms of life such as trees. As stated in the Vayu Purana, Viprayayascha Bhavati, Brahmatva, Tavatara Vayu, the living being rotates between the position of Brahma and that of the unmoving creature. The Jiva Goswami points out that Shiva, having glorified the Lord now, pursues his original intention of securing the Lord's grace for Banasura. Thus, in this and the following four verses, Lord Shiva instructs Bana on his actual position in relation to the Lord. Shiva appeals to the Lord for compassion towards Bana, appears in text 45.
Any points there? So first of all, it is described that all of us are in the samsara chakra. Samsara chakra means? Cycle of birth and death. You are suffering in the cycle of birth and death. Sometimes you rise up like a demigod. And other times we come down like a tree or an ant or something. Insignificant. So that is the potency of the material energy. Once you're in the chakra, it is very hard to come out. Very hard to become liberated. The only way you can become liberated is?
By surrender to Krishna.
You receive Krishna's mercy. And then you can be relieved from the suffering in this material world. So, it is mentioned in the second part of the purport. This is like a... this is the way to approach a great soul. When we approach the great soul, we have to give glorification. It's actually stated that one should not fail to praise the guru in his presence. That's an injunction, actually. I think it's in Nectar of Devotion, it says like that, right? So one of the 64 items of Bhakti, does it say like that? One should not fail to praise the Guru. Is it there or is it in the Hari Bhakti Vilas? But it's there. The instruction is given. You should not fail to praise the Guru in his presence. You have to give glorification because that's appropriate. And we are instructed as disciples, we have to write Vyasa Puja offerings. The Vyasa Puja offering is an opportunity to meditate on the relationship with the spiritual master and also to glorify the spiritual master. So there are different elements. When you write a Vyasa Puja offering, three things should be included. First thing is you have to glorify the great personality. Sometimes on Vyasa Puja, devotees talk about themselves. Oh, I am like this and I am so fallen and that. It's like Hare Krishna, we know. Like that, just I am so fallen and like that. We know you're fallen. Everyone's fallen. That's, you know, taken for granted. You know, but the main point is you have to glorify the guru. The guru needs to be glorified. We have to glorify the spiritual master according to his, right? And then you state your fallen position. You say, oh, I am fallen. That is okay. That's part of it. Sometimes where I just go right on. Like this part becomes like the main thing. I'm so fallen, everything like that. And then the third element is you have to pray for mercy. Whenever you approach a great soul, you have to pray for mercy. Please give me your benediction. Okay. So these are the elements when you approach the great personality. Lord Shiva, he glorifies Krishna. He states his fallen position and then he prays for Krishna's mercy. That is the system. So we have to approach the great personalities like that, in that mood of submission. Any points?
And this is Punya Janini Yakshishanam Trai Mudari Trai.
What does it mean? What is the meaning?
Meaning is that we have to come to this material again and again and get different bodies because we are lost in the Maya. Yeah.
So now, as has been mentioned in the purport at the end of verse 40, then it says that thus, in this and the following four verses, Lord Shiva will instruct Bana on his actual position with the Lord. And then in 45, then he prays to the Lord on behalf of Banasura. So now he will be speaking about his position in relationship to the Lord. One who has attained this human form of life as a gift from God, yet who fails to control his senses and honor your feet, is surely to be pitied, for he is only cheating himself. So, Mahatma Prabhu?
Lord Shiva here condemns those who refuse to engage in the devotional service of the Supreme Lord.
Any points?
Because they are wasting their human life.
Hmm?
But they are wasting their human life.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, this is the purpose of life. Atato Brahma Jigyasa, you have to understand what life is for. Why do you exist? What is the purpose of your existence? Why are you here? It is nicely explained in this verse. This is why we are here. We, as a human, is a gift from God Himself. Why are we here? You have to control your senses. That is the what differentiates you from an animal. Otherwise, you're dvipada pashu. You're just a two-legged animal. What's the difference between us and an animal? We can control our senses. That makes us. And if you look at the first verse of the Upadeshamrita, what does Rupa Goswami say? You have to control your urges. That's the beginning of spiritual life. If you can't do that, you can't make significant advancement. And you see, devotees who struggle with controlling the senses, the advancement is very slow. Devotees who can control their senses, they can advance rapidly. That's why in the Vedic system, you're meant to become a brahmachari first, or a brahmacharini first. Why? So you learn to control your senses. Right? And then if you can control your senses, you can enter into Grihastha Ashram, you can make your Grihastha Ashram successful. So if you joined and you already a Grihastha, you didn't become a brahmachari, then you have to learn it in the Grihastha Ashram, sense control. That is the point. So it says here that you have to control your senses and honor Krishna's feet. That's the goal of life. The goal of life is to serve Krishna. To become his servant. If you don't do that, then your life is useless. Bhagavatam says, Shrama Evihi Kevalam. Means useless waste of time. Your life is useless. Right? If you're not serving Krishna, then it's useless. That's what the Bhagavatam is teaching.
In regards to when you say that Lord Shiva condemns those who refuse to engage in devotional service, so you said what he kind of does when he favors people who worship him, is like that, by giving material offerings, and that in a sense is kind of like condemning them.
Lord Shiva. In the Krishna book, Prabhupada says, the devotees of Lord Shiva are rich, and the devotees of Lord Krishna are poor.
Mm-hmm.
That's the difference. Because Lord Shiva, you worship him to get material facility, and you worship Krishna, and then he takes it all away from you.
So do we see that as a form of condemning them?
What's that?
Do we see that as a form of not really doing a favor to them, like actually just going to keep them engaged in the material world?
Lord Shiva?
Yeah, and just trying to see this, we say Lord Shiva here condemns those who refuse to engage in devotional service. Like, whoever is worshipping Lord Shiva in his lifetime, you know, is not doing, is not using it to do devotional service to the Supreme. So do we see it?
Yeah, Lord Shiva is a great devotee, so therefore he's encouraging everyone else to also serve Krishna. And if you don't do that, he says, then you're to be pitied.
Pitied
means you're wasting your life. That's all. Make sense? If you don't serve Krishna, you're wasting your life. That's the point. That's all Lord Shiva is saying.
Actually, I mean, harming themselves.
Yeah.
Not doing any harm to others.
He's a killer of his own soul.
Yeah.
He shall punish it. That mortal who rejects you, his true self, dear most friend and Lord, for the sake of sense objects, whose nature is just the opposite, refuses nectar and instead consumes poison. So Narottama Das Thakur writes one beautiful song. And that song was the favorite song of Srila Prabhupada. Hari Hari Bifale Janama Ganoinu. That song? You know that song? Bhajan? In the songbook, you know that? Bhajan. So it says, there's one verse in that song, and it says, "Oh my Lord, I have knowingly drunk poison, because for so many lifetimes I did not serve your lotus feet." So if we do not willingly serve Krishna's lotus feet, we are knowingly and willingly drinking
poison.
We are keeping ourselves bound in this material world. And that's the same thing that Lord Shiva is saying here. Everything that the Acharyas say is based on the Bhagavatam. So this is what Lord Shiva is saying. If we don't understand what our purpose in life is, then we are simply drinking poison. If we're not serving Krishna with this human form of life. And it is said that we must engage our dependence in Krishna's service. If you don't engage your dependence in Krishna's service, you become bound to this material world. So somehow you have to engage them in Krishna's service. Is it easy engaging your kids in Krishna's service? Is it easy? Not easy.
Yeah.
What's that?
When they are young, it's easy.
When they're young, it's easy. Yeah. Your kids are young, so. Yeah, so it's easy when they're young. But when they become older, what happens?
They have their own ego.
Yeah. Not so easy. We should form a parents' club. We can get together, we can console each other. And we can exchange notes. And we can cry a lot. And then bring some biscuits and things as well. We'll love Johns, yeah. But then it just becomes like a sense enjoyment party. We just get cool as we become intoxicated and say, oh, let the kids do what they want anyway. You know? Chan Hare Krishna, okay. You don't want to chan, okay, go. But it becomes very difficult. Huh? I'm seeing my daughter. My daughter's 13. Now, it's difficult because their senses are strong. Their hormones are changing. They're becoming aware of the world. Right? And it's like a big competition going on inside of them. But not easy to stay focused on Krishna. And I say to my daughter, chant. And she says, I'm thinking of Krishna in my mind. I said, but still you have to chant. He said, I'm already thinking of Krishna. And it's true on one level. She's very Krishna conscious on one level. But when it comes to doing sadhana, you know, it's like some, it's like you're trying to torture her or something. Like that. You know, except when she goes to the Holy Dham. In the Holy Dham, she's good. And she chants japa and everything. But in the West, they become very distracted. Huh? Yeah, instead of, you know, like a devotee always holds the beads and they always hold their. Like that, you know. We're chanting like that and they're just going like this, you know, the whole time. Yeah, very, very strong. The material energy is very strong, very, very powerful. But here it's just being said we have to engage our dependence in Krishna's service. Somehow or other, you have to.
And the culture also plays a lot on them. So the outside culture
of the
students and all is almost atheism, that's what they are subjected to.
Yeah. And in one sense, it's a bit easier for the girls, because the girls are more simplistic, you know, but the boys over-intellectualize everything. They get on the intellectual platform. Okay. Why is this? Why is that? The girls just have like a natural bhakti, which is there. Mm-hmm. Like that. So it's, for the boys, in one sense, it's even more difficult. Hard. Not so easy. Okay. Verse 43. I, Lord Brahma, and other demigods, and the pure-minded sages, have all surrendered wholeheartedly unto you, our dearmost self and Lord. Let us worship you, the Supreme Lord, to be freed from material life. You are the maintainer of the universe and the cause of its creation and demise. Equipoised and perfectly at peace, you are the true friend, self and worshipable Lord. You are one without a second, the shelter of all the worlds and all souls. So, in the Bhagavad Gita it says, Jnanam Smritya Apohanam Cha, which means Krishna gives
knowledge, remembrance,
and forgetfulness. So if you want to forget Krishna, Krishna will facilitate that. He will allow us to forget him. If you want to remember him, he will reawaken that lost remembrance in your consciousness. And then you will take up your devotional path once again. So it is up to us. Whatever we're desiring, Krishna will facilitate that. He will give you the knowledge. You see some devotees, they join and they're so knowledgeable. Just like I walked in before and you were listening to one lecture.
Amarendra
Prabhu. How old is he?
26.
26, is he? Okay, 20, 25, 26. So how is the guy so learned? Have you listened to his lectures?
Yes.
He's like an encyclopedia, right? So it's quite obvious that's not coming from this life. You can't be that learned from this life. I mean, it's extraordinary. Now, it's very obvious that he's taking up from where he left off previously. Yeah? So Krishna gives you that knowledge. He gives you the remembrance. Or if you misuse your independence, then he gives you the forgetfulness. So,
Dhruv Maharaj was only 5 years old.
What's that?
Dhruv Maharaj
Yeah, he was on. Yeah.
And he just stated concept and
yeah.
So sacred and beautiful prayers.
That Naraji Maharshi.
Yeah, he's guru. So Lord Shiva is saying here, if you want to be freed from material life, hands up if you want to be free from material life. Then Lord Shiva gives the answer. What is the answer? You have to worship Krishna. Actually, it is prema bhakti. Prema bhakti delivers you from material existence. Otherwise, if you don't develop prema, you will have to take birth again in this material world. Prema means love for Krishna. Prema is very exalted. But I remember my Guru Maharaj, the last time he came to Australia, he was lecturing in Brisbane. And it was interesting, he made a point, I always remember. He said, actually, bhava is not that difficult to attain. Now, bhava is a very high level of Krishna consciousness, very exalted. But he said, actually, it is not that difficult to attain. It just means you have to adjust your consciousness. Because naturally, devotees are very soft-hearted. So you have to develop that soft-hearted nature towards Krishna. You have to develop love for Krishna. Krishna has to be your primary attachment in this world. So that at the time of death, if you're thinking of him, you will go to him. So you have to develop that prema, and then you become free from material existence. If we don't develop love for Krishna, you keep returning to this material world.
That's why Mahaprabhu came. Mahaprabhu.
Yeah. To give that. Yeah.
Prabhu?
Yes, sir.
It is said that in this material body we can only experience still bhava, not prema. So as being one devotee, they said in this body we can only experience still bhava. Prema we cannot experience unless you are a very pure devotee. But Mataji was saying...
No, Prabhupada had prema. It means the material body cannot contain the symptoms of prema. That's what it means. That's all it means. But Prabhupada had prema. He was in this world. He accepted a form like ours, but he had prema. It just means the symptoms cannot fully manifest. That's all. Right. You see, like Lord Chaitanya, the changes his body went through in the Anchalila of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So it means your material body cannot contain those kind of symptoms, that's all.
Someone said that it is not difficult to see Lord, but he likes simplicity. So it's not difficult to see him if you are simple, but it's difficult, very difficult to become simple-minded.
Yeah. Yeah, simple for the simple and complicated for the complicated.
Yeah.
Just stay simple.
Okay.
Right? But not too simple. Okay. There's one Mataji in Vrindavan, she was walking along and she had all the big bundle, you see in Vrindavan, they carry the big bundle of sticks on their head. Right? And she's walking along and the sticks fell on the ground. She said, oh, Krishna. So Krishna appeared. Krishna said, what do you want? She said, can you please put the sticks back on my head? So Krishna helped her put the sticks on the head and then he disappeared. So don't be too simple. Be simple hearted but not too simple. Okay. This Banasura is my dear and faithful follower and I have awarded him freedom from fear. Therefore, my Lord, please grant him your mercy, just as you showed mercy to Prahlad, the Lord of the demons. So, Banasura was favored by?
Lord Shiva.
Lord Shiva. What does that mean?
Mercy of Lord Shiva.
We have to become favored by the Vaishnavas, by the devotees. If you're favored by the devotees, Krishna accepts you. If you're not favored by the devotees, Krishna will not accept you. The devotees always have to give. So that's why you have to be very careful to act in such a way that the devotees will give you their
blessing.
I've noticed myself over the years. I told you before. One time I was chanting in Vrindavan, and then one guru, he walked past me, he looked at me, and my chanting, I was getting so much reciprocation from Krishna. He looked at me, and then all my taste just disappeared. Because obviously when he looked at me, he thought something negative, right? He was not pleased with me. And then suddenly it was just like Krishna just went, disappeared. All my taste and everything disappeared for the chanting. And then another time, I've also experienced, I was also chanting, and then another guru, very powerful guru, His Holiness Indradumna Swami. I was chanting. I saw one sannyasi walking, and I thought, you know, I was chanting, so I didn't want to get distracted, so I just kept chanting. But then I looked up, just as he walked past me, he looked down at me and he smiled, and then it was like the holy name just erupted. So just by the glance, because Maharaj was happy with me, everything manifests. One of the other gurus was not happy with me, everything gone. So it is up to us. You have to act in such a way that the Vaishnavas favor you. They're always pleased with you. Right? And if they're displeased with you, go to them and beg forgiveness. Do service for them. The Supreme Lord said, "My dear Lord, for your pleasure, we must certainly do what you have requested of us. I fully agree with your conclusion." So that's a very nice verse. Who is speaking here? Who? Who is that?
Krishna.
So Krishna himself is saying, "My dear Lord," what does he call Shiva?
My dear Lord.
Yeah, but in the Sanskrit. Bhagavan. And what does Bhagavan mean? Yeah, so it means the one who has unlimited opulences, the abode of opulence. Simplistically, we usually say it means God. But Lord Krishna, who is God, is calling Lord Shiva Bhagavan. Such an act of respect. Actually, this is a sign of greatness. When you're actually great, you offer respect to even those who are not as great as you. So Krishna calls him Bhagavan. He says, my Lord, for your pleasure, we must certainly do what you have requested of us. That's Krishna's humility. Saying, Lord Shiva, you want us to protect Banasura? We will protect him because you want it. That's how dear the devotee becomes to Krishna. Sri Krishna Kashini is one of the qualities of prema. It means the devotee controls Krishna. Krishna is controlled by the devotee. So Lord Shiva is Krishna's devotee. Because he has so much prema, then Krishna is reciprocating with him. I fully agree with your conclusion. It's quite an amazing verse that Krishna is speaking like this.
It is said in bhakti we should put as many layers as possible between us and Krishna. Because Banasura otherwise would not have got this mercy, but because Lord Shiva is recommending his case, that's why he's getting the mercy of Lord Krishna. Krishna
is actually fighting with him, wanting to kill him, right? Because Krishna, now Shiva is recommending, so if a devotee recommends, he recommends Krishna, then Krishna is more accepted.
Yeah.
Like Radharani, if she recommends, he is a good devotee, Krishna
accepts. Yeah. I will not kill this demoniac son of Vairochini. For I gave Prahlad Maharaj the benediction that I would not kill any of his descendants. It's a very, very good benediction to receive. It was to subdue Banasura's false pride that I severed his arms and I slew his mighty army because it had become a burden upon the earth. This demon, who still has forearms, will be immune to old age and death, and he will serve as one of your principal attendants. Thus he will have nothing to fear on any account. So this is the greatest benediction that one can receive. What is the best benediction? Krishna's mercy. Yeah, Krishna's mercy. Specifically, what's he saying? Even greater than that. Even greater than that. Very good. Krishna blesses you, you'll become the servant of my servant. That's the greatest benediction you can get. If Krishna gives you that benediction, Krishna says, now you stay here in my pastimes and you serve this devotee. Yeah? A few years ago, I was in Mayapur, and we arrived in Mayapur, and one of Prabhupada's disciples was leaving his body. His name was Nirguna Prabhu. Were you there that year? Yeah, it was a year we went together. So we got there, and he was leaving his body 2 or 3 days after we arrived in Kartik Mas, Govardhan Puja or something, one of those auspicious days. He left the body in Mayapur, very powerful. And then who told the story? I can't remember if it was Janani Vas Prabhu or... Yeah, I think it was Janani Vas Prabhu. It was one of his godbrothers. They were telling the pastime. He was laying there, Nirguna Prabhu, and weeks and months as he was leaving his body. So he was laying there, and then he said, take your peace and go. And devotees, they lent them, and they said, what did you say? He said, take your peace and go. And I said, what does that mean? He said, in the spiritual world, because he was in his consciousness, his body was there, but in his consciousness he was in Goloka. He said that Govardhan Hill in Goloka, Vrindavan, the Govardhan Shilas, devotees take the Shila and worship the Shila. So he said in the spiritual world, Govardhan Hill said to him, take your piece, take one piece of Govardhan and go, enter into the pastimes in the spiritual world. So that's the highest benediction. When Krishna says, now you're in the spiritual world, serve this devotee and go into the pastimes. That's the best benediction we can get. And Prabhupada's disciple, all of us can also get that benediction if we attain the right state of consciousness at the time of death. Just like Nirguna Prabhu, he entered into the pastimes. Thus attaining freedom from fear, Banasura offered obeisances to Lord Krishna by touching his head to the ground. Bana then seated Aniruddha and his bride on their chariot and brought them before the Lord. At the front of the party, Lord Krishna then placed Aniruddha and his bride, both beautifully adorned with fine cloths, clothes, and ornaments, and surrounded them with a full military division. Thus Lord Krishna took his leave of Lord Shiva and departed. The Lord then entered his capital. The city was lavishly decorated with flags and victory arches, and its avenues and crossways were all sprinkled with water. As conch shells, arnicas, and dundubi drums resounded, the Lord's relatives, the brahmanas, and the general populace all came forward to meet him respectively. Now you will all get a benediction. It is called Stutifal. Whoever rises early in the morning and remembers Lord Krishna's victory in his battle with Lord Shiva will never experience defeat. Srila Prabhupada ki
jai.
Okay. So next Tuesday, we will have an overview of chapters 56 to 63, 8 chapters. Then the following Tuesday, 2 weeks from today, we'll have the closed book exam. Yeah. But please enjoy yourselves, preparing for your exams. And please give your fees for the course, otherwise you will not be allowed to take the exam. Hare Krishna.